This is tape number 14 of a 16-tape series, the topic of which is humidity. The message was given by Pastor Grace Chung in Mandarin Chinese. Pastor Chung's message starts here. Let's turn the Bible to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Isaiah 6, 1 through 5. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Here he says, "I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." For quite some time, we have been talking about what are the areas in our lives that the quality of humility is manifested. So, what do we talk about? We talk about a humble person is a person with listening ears. He is a person who can listen to other people's corrections. What else did I talk about? Anybody? What else did I talk about? Okay, these are the people who is not opinionated. These are the people who is not quick to jump to conclusion, who is not quick to pass comments onto other people or judgment onto other people. What else? So these are the people who is not opinionated. And this person is not strongly opinionated. He is not someone who holds on to his own ideas and who holds his own methods very strongly, who refuse to listen to other people's suggestions. What else? And a humble person is someone who trembles at the word of God. This is what is talked about in the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah touched upon this particular quality, this particular area. In a humble person is not someone, when they hear any teachings, hear any message from the pulpit, they will just sort of like rebel in their heart and say, "Well, why should I do that? Why should I just do something like that? And should I really take the word of the Bible so literally?" No, I don't think so. Like we said before, a humble person is one who trembles at the word of God and who sometimes takes the word of God very seriously. What else? Okay, we also talked about a humble person is someone who just submits himself under the mighty hand of God. But conversely, and a proud person does not want to do that. A proud person refuses to do that. And a humble person who knows very clearly in his heart and mind that God is in control of everything, so he can submit himself under the mighty hands of God. Another thing we talked about, a humble person who thinks other people are stronger than him, who thinks other people are more capable than he himself. We also talked about a humble person is someone who does not have the spirit of strife and contention, who is not trying to be competitive all the time, who is trying to be aggressive in every environment, in everything he does. A humble person does not do that, does not take that route, does not have that kind of attitude toward the people around him, toward the environment and situations around him. So I remember after I gave this message on this humility, and a few mothers approached me and said they have been wrong all along in just driving their children to be very aggressive, and now they change their attitude. What else? What else did I talk about? Okay, a humble person who knows very well, no matter what kind of talents, what kind of gifts, what kind of capability he has, all he received all of these from the Lord. He just received from the Lord. So there's nothing to be proud of. There's nothing that he can boast about. So brothers and sisters, so we have talked about quite a few, these qualities, these different areas in our lives that the quality of humility can be manifested. So brothers and sisters, have you prayed for these? We not only just listen to the messages, we need to pray for these areas. We need to pursue the Lord. We need to pray to God so He will come into our hearts to help us. We need to trust. We need to pray. We not only that, we need to put all these teachings, these messages into our practice, into our daily life. We really need to urgently, earnestly pray for these qualities to be developed in our hearts, in our inner spiritual being. The most important of all, we need to put all these teachings and messages into our daily practice, into the practices of our daily lives. So what else did I talk about? I also talked about a humble person is a person who places his complete trust in the Lord. He just relies on God completely. He is not self-confident. He is not conceited. He is not always sort of like a trust himself, rely on himself. Remember I used the example, someone when he needs to go to somewhere which he has never been there, he trusts himself so much, he thinks that he will never get lost, but as a matter of fact, he gets lost. Why? Because he trusts, he relies on himself too much. Instead, we should be trusting in the Lord, we should be relying ourselves on the Lord. But today, I want to talk about another aspect in our life which we can have this quality of humility developed inside us. I want to talk about when a person sees the glory of God, when a person sees the face of the Lord, then we just open ourselves up so God can come into us. God can shine His light into us. So we will open up this time and opportunity for the Lord so He can come into us to build this quality of humility inside you and me. So here said, look at what Isaiah said. Isaiah said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." And he said, he saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphs, each with six wings. And he said, they were calling, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." Here says the important thing, he saw the Lord seated on the throne. Then later on he said, "Woe to me, I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." Well, look at today's Christian, look at ourselves. Oftentimes we have heard these messages, we have heard so many teachings, and when we heard it, we understand it's teaching, these teachings are specifically for us. And we know we have sinned in this area, we have sinned in that area. So in our mind, in our intellect, we know we need to change. In our mind, we know this is no good in us. We need to change. We need to work in these areas. We need to rid ourselves of these weak areas. We know in our brain, we know in our mind, but somehow in our heart it did not register. We just did not really want it to change. We did not really have the desire to change. We even, as a matter of fact, we refuse to change. And oftentimes we heard these teachings. Oftentimes we heard these messages. And we know in our rationale, we know in our intellect, we need to somehow do something to it. But once when we turn around, we turn away from the gathering, we just forget all about it. See? So oftentimes when we heard the message, yes, this message of humility, this message of self-pride, it's directed toward me. Lord really gave this message to me. But right after the gathering is over, after the meeting is over, I never prayed for that. I just did not pray for that. I just completely forget about it. So I can never put that message, put that teaching into the practice of my life. So how can I experience this revolution inside? How can I experience this change happening in me? Once again, I want to use the example of Mrs. Robinson. When she started to pray for the anointing power of the Holy Spirit, she was so confident, she thought it should take her no time to be anointed, to be filled by the Holy Spirit from the Lord. But for some reason, she did not get it. She failed to get it. She was so puzzled. Later on, God used another sister to just pass the word of God unto her. This sister just approached her and said, "Well, God said, you are so restless, you are so impatient, you are so conceited, because look at yourself. When you are in the church, when you're sitting down there, sometimes the message on the pulpit doesn't speak to your heart, or you do not agree with the message, you do not agree, you do not honor the teaching from the pulpit. Then you just stood up and left. So you are so restless." Or sometimes other brothers or sisters, when they were leading this service, when they prayed too long, you became restless, you became impatient. So this is not the way you think you can get anointing of the Holy Spirit. If you really desire that, if you really wanted that, you need to do that according to the way of the Lord, not your own way, not your own way of thinking, not your own way of thoughts. So it happens the same thing. It happens exactly the same thing to today's Christians. Sometimes we don't like people just cry in the public meetings. We don't like people laughing out loud in public meetings. We don't like the way the church is leading the singing, the singsprations. We like our own ways. We have our own ways. We have our own presuppositions. We have our own ideas and thoughts and suggestions. We don't like the way it is doing. We don't like the way the service is being conducted, so on and so forth, because our self is so strong. We don't like anything which is different from ourselves. So Mrs. Robinson, after she heard this message from a fellow Christian, she changed. She stopped being a judge. She stopped being a critique during the service time, during all the meetings and the gatherings. Sometimes we are like the old Mrs. Robinson. Oftentimes before the gathering meetings, we call the church, who is going to be speaker tonight? Who is going to speak for that particular service? And if the speaker is not someone we like and someone we admire, we do not even want to go. So our old self is so strong. This is our biggest enemy we need to fight against. So if we do not fight this enemy, we cannot receive the abundance from the Lord. So Mrs. Robinson changed her attitude, changed her way of looking at the things around her. So one day, when she was spending her private time, quiet time, silent time before the Lord showed her this vision. So in her vision, she saw the great glory, the wondrous glory of the Lord. It's so bright, and it is a shining light toward the darkness around it, into this dark world, into this dark universe. This glory is so bright and so wonderful. It's beyond the descriptions. So she could not describe it. She could not believe it. The glory of the Lord is just simply incredible and simply marvelous. But very, very far, in the very far away distance, there's this tiny grain of dust, this tiny grain of ash. And she knew this tiny grain of dust is herself, is Mrs. Robinson herself. The distance between this grain of dust and the glory of God is so vast, they can never bridge this distance. And over there, the grain of dust is, it's dark, it's cold, it's gloomy. So the Lord showed Mrs. Robinson this vision. And she realized that dust is herself. That dust is Mrs. Robinson. That grain of dust is so insignificant, is so unworthy, is so filthy. The existence of this grain of dust, of this grain of ash, is irrelevant, is so insignificant. When she saw this vision, she was desperate. Mrs. Robinson felt very desperate. Mrs. Robinson was really humbled. Because why? Because at that moment, in that vision, Mrs. Robinson just saw the glory of God. Mrs. Robinson saw God Himself. Even though it's not the face of the Lord, but she really witnessed it. She really saw firsthand. She really saw in the vision the first time the indescribable glory of God Himself. Then that moment rendered Mrs. Robinson so hopeless and helpless. It changed her attitude. It changed her view toward herself. She realized she is so insignificant. She is so irrelevant. Whether or not she exists, it doesn't matter. So then, immediately, God continued to show her that Jesus left His glory. And he just approaches this grain of dust and ash. And he just picked up this grain of dust and folded it in his hand. Then he turned around and heads back to the indescribable bright glory. So this vision really revolutionized Mrs. Robinson's world view. His viewpoints first to herself, then his views to the things around her. She really got this message. Jesus, the Son of God, He shed His blood for me personally. He departed His indescribable, marvelous glory, and He just came down to this earth to save me, to grant me this salvation, this precious salvation. And this realization really humbled Mrs. Robinson. Then 1 year later, so Mrs. Robinson wrote down in his diary, she said, since my anointing of the Holy Spirit, and oftentimes I was so amazed and I also was so frustrated why my growth in my spiritual life is so slow, why it is stunted somewhere, somehow. And once again, God showed her this vision. And this is the second part of the vision, which now in this vision, she saw this grain of dust and ash, the distance between this grain of dust and the glory of God is much closer. Because she has walked quite a few distance, so she just is getting very close now to the glory of God. God told her, see, you are walking even though slowly, but steadily toward the source of glory. So put your mind at ease, my child. You are on the right path. So God showed her two visions. Through these two visions, through these realizations, seeing these two visions, God just helped her. God also kept Mrs. Robinson in the spirit of humility. So in this example, when a person really sees the glory of God, really sees God Himself, this person simply cannot become a proud person. This person simply cannot harbor, simply cannot give any chance or opportunity, cannot open any ground for the spirit of pride to set root. Back in the days of Xinzu, we have this sister during one of our meetings. And when we were praying to God, when we were having a fellowship with the Lord, all of a sudden she screamed so loud, Then after that, she cried, she wept in great agony. And later on, she told me personally, because in God showed her this vision. Two sides. It has two sides. One side is God is so holy. God is so just pure. The glory of God is so bright and so pure. And on the other hand, she saw herself so unworthy, so filthy. So she cried in great agony. So brothers and sisters, anyone among us, once when we see God Himself, when we see the glory of the Lord, we cannot be a proud person. We simply can't. We simply can't. Because it will render us so useless, so hopeless. We will be given this realization. We are so insignificant. We are so unworthy. We are so irrelevant. So we will know where we stand. We will know who we really are. And God will just show us the way. God will guide us onto this path toward the light of God. So no matter, maybe in our lives we will be given a lot of accomplishments in our lives. So these are nothing to be proud of. These are not the things we should be boasting about. Why, all these things we received from the Lord, all these things are graces and blessings from the Lord. So there's nothing to be proud of. Oftentimes, sometimes God just blessed us with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God gave us a lot of talents and gifts, and God really just showed us a great power of His very own life inside us. Then we will be proud spiritually. Brothers and sisters, be very careful. These are not the things we should be proud of. All these things we just receive from the Lord. Only when we see the glory of God, like Isaiah did, then we will become a humble person. We have no choice but humble ourselves. We all know Isaiah is a great prophet. Isaiah is a very good Christian before the Lord. But when Isaiah saw the glorious Lord, he said, "Woe to me, I'm ruined." We can also see the seraphs were proclaiming, "Holy, holy, holy to the Lord of the highest." So it happened to Isaiah. So when Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord, what he said, "I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." Christians, we need to be careful. We oftentimes, we know we are so critical. We have a critical tongue. We just know we have a critical tongue. But we did not pray for it. And we continue to be critical. We continue to have this critical tongue. We know we do not have listening ears. But we did not pray for it. We did not really pray to God so God will work in this. So we still continue to have unlistening ears. So we need to be very careful. Before the Lord, we need to strive to know where we are, to know where we stand, to know who we really are. Then we will see God is seated on the throne. Then ourselves will no longer be seated on our personal spiritual throne. We will not be proud of ourselves. We will not give the spirit of pride any chances. So let me say, repeat one more time. To have a quality of humility, one way to do it, to see the glory of God, to see God's purity, to see God's holiness. We are all familiar with the story of Job. Remember Job? The Bible said he is a blameless and upright man before the Lord. And he is such a righteous man in the eyes of the Lord. And he shuns evil. So remember later on, three friends, they just accused him. They tried to point that out to him. You suffered so much. You suffered greatly because you sinned somewhere, somehow. But Job just defended himself in lengths. I'm a good person. I'm social. I did not do anything wrong. I did not sin any just respect. So Job really expressed his self-righteousness, his sense of self-righteousness. Brothers and sisters, once when a person has this sense of self-righteousness, then actually he is condemning God. He is condemning God is unfair to me. God has been unfair to me. Then remember, when in chapter 40 of Job, then God started to answer Job. Remember, when God asked Job, where were you when I set the foundations of the earth? Right? And God also said, when you see all the rushing seas, the waves, the ebbs and flows of the water, all these waters, I set the boundaries, I set the limits for the waters. Where were you? When I was setting those limits, where were you? He also said, God also asked Job, do you have an arm like God's? And can your voice thunder like this? He also said, will the one who contends with Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him. That's what God started to speak to Job. God started to bring Job to his senses, try to call Job to his attention. Particularly verse 2. Will the one who contends with Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him. So brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful. We need to be very cautious, aware. Sometimes when we complain before God, sometimes we contend with God. God, how could you do this to me? What did I do so I deserve that? Brothers and sisters, how dare we? How dare we to say something like that in the face of God? So that remember, when God said that, what did Job say? Job answered the Lord, I'm unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more. He said, I put my hand over my mouth. How can I reply to you? So God continued to ask him, do you have an arm like God? And can your voice thunder like his? Look at the hippopotamus, which I made along with you, and which feeds on grass like an ox. What strength he has in his loins, what power in the muscles of his belly. His tail sways like a cedar, the sinews of his eyes are close-knit. So finally, Job answered humbly, I know you are almighty God, I know you are almighty God. Nothing, simply nothing can stop your will. So who can answer you? What I did, I don't know. What I said, I don't know. What actually Job is saying, I don't know what I'm talking about. But remember when he was arguing with his three friends, he was so eloquent, he was so convincing, he was so reasonable. But now what he is saying, Lord, I don't know what I'm talking about. Today's Christian brothers, just the opposite of Job, or just like the old Job, when they are so quick, they are so quick to pass on judgment. They are so quick to pass on, to offer their comments. But look at Job. Job said, Lord, I don't know what I'm talking about. Lord, when I'm facing your glory, I cannot say anything. I can only put my hand on my mouth. But for those of us, we haven't seen the glory of God. We haven't seen God himself. Our normal response, our just instantaneous reaction will be, Lord, I know. Lord, I know. Oh, I know all this. I have heard all this. But look at the Bible. Go through the whole Bible. No matter it's a Daniel, it's a Apostle John, or the prophet Isaiah, and Apostle Paul, and other people. When they see the glory of the Lord, what was their reaction? Their reaction is their face paled, and their utterance from their mouth is, woe to me, I will perish, I'm ruined, it's doomsday for me, I detest myself, I just confess, I repent in dust and ashes. That's their reaction, that's their attitude. That's their response before the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we need to take that kind of route. We need to take that kind of attitude. Brothers and sisters, often what we behave just the opposite. We say, Lord, my Lord has blessed me so much. These days, I'm really filled by the Holy Spirit. Then we have this conceitedness. We have this self-pride, self-respect. We have this self-confidence, which is groundless. There's nothing we can be proud of. There's nothing we can be conceited about. Because all these we received from the Lord. We are on the receiving side. So, brothers and sisters, we have heard numerous messages focused on this issue of humility. Brothers and sisters, listening to messages is not enough. We need to pray for these. We need to pray just very heartily before the Lord. We need to call on the name of the Lord so the Lord will help us to develop these qualities inside us. And we need to pray to the Lord so He will open our inner eyes and ears. We will see Him. We will see our Lord. We will see the Almighty God more clearly. We will see the glory of God so brightly. So what is humility? Humility is a deepening understanding of who I am. It is a clearer understanding. It's an ever-increasing understanding of where I stand, where I am. It's a deepening understanding of who I am, of my own identity. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'm just a grain of dust. I'm nobody. There's nothing I can be proud of. And apart from God, I can do nothing. Just apart from the Creator, I am just the created. I can do nothing. I can do nothing apart from my Creator. Only when I'm connected permanently to the source of my Creator, to the source of my strength and power, then I can do something in the glory of God, in the name of my Lord. So when I do anything, when I say anything, it's only in the name of the Lord, in the faith in God. Otherwise, I can do nothing. Otherwise, I can say nothing. Otherwise, even if I say something, I do something, it's irrelevant. It's insignificant. That's what Jesus said in the Bible. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So here just really should teach us a lesson. So we are created. We should never be separated from our Creator. No matter how simple, how short a moment the separation is, once we are separated from Him, we are nothing, we are nobody, we can do nothing, we can say nothing. If we do, it will only be hurting other people. So brothers and sisters, we need to rely on God all the time, every single moment of our lives. And that's our identity before the Lord. That's our status before the Lord. That's God's will for us. We need to rely on Him continually. We need to trust Him every moment of us. Remember Adam and Eve? How they sinned. How they sinned the very first time. Remember, they just believed the word of the evil one, of the serpent. The serpent said, now if you do this, if you eat this fruit, you can be like God. See? That's the trick. That's the trick. Because Adam wanted to be like God. So, he wants to be independent of God, so he can be like God. He wants to be as wise as God. He wants to climb higher, higher, so he will be exalted. He wants to exalt himself, to climb higher, so he can be as high as God. Remember his offsprings, his descendants. These are the people who build the Tower of Babel. Then when the people built the Tower of Babel, they want to reach to God. They want to exalt themselves. They want themselves to be like God, to be on the same footing, on the same standing of God. But we all knew God opposes these people. God opposed people with this kind of attitude, which is an attitude of pride. But let's come to today's Christians. How about today's Christians? Oftentimes we, today's Christians, we are still building the Tower of Babel. We are building our Tower of Babel in our offices. We are building our Tower of Babel in the church. I want to be such a mighty church leader. I want to be respected by the fellow Christians. I want to be just known in the church. I want to be well respected, admired among my Christians in the church. I want to be known. I want to achieve a great accomplishment in my work, on my job, in my office. We are still building the Tower of Babel. We all know Jim Baker. When he was imprisoned, that was the time he really searched his own heart. And later when he was released, he shared with the public. He said when he started his service, when he started his ministry, he was faithful to the Lord. He served for the cause of the Lord. He saved for God, not himself. But gradually he changed. Gradually he changed. Instead of serving God, he started to serve for himself, for his own personal empire, for his personal esteem, for his personal reputation, for his personal wealth, his sense of personal wealth. And he was serving his own personal Tower of Babel. But thank God, God gave him time and opportunity to repent, to change, to become a new person again. There's this sister from Taiwan. She always thought herself was a very capable, very intelligent girl. And she always had this confidence with herself that once she sets her mind to do anything, she can always do it very well, extremely well, and she can excel in anything she sets her mind to do. Then later on, she came to the U.S., and she was enrolled in a postgraduate program, in a master's program. But shortly, she ended up with two C's with two courses. And it's the first time she just faced a failure. She faced a frustration. It's the first time she could not do so well. She find that she was not the one she thought she always was. And it's the first time she sensed something incompetence. She sensed her imperfection. She sensed her incompleteness. But she did not want to face it. She couldn't face her personal failure. And what's worse than this, this is her maxim. If she gets one more C, she will not be able to continue with her degree program. So she ended up, she was so afraid, she was so terrified, she could not face her failure. So she changed it to a different school, to change a different program. But after she changed the school, she tried to hide her personal failure. When people asked her why she changed the school, why she switched the program, she said, well, because I have a relative in this town, which is true. But that's not her real reason. Her real reason is she could not face her personal failure. And later on, she became a Christian, and she started practicing inner life, and she grew more maturity in her spiritual life, in her spiritual being. Then gradually, she realized who she was. She knew where she stood. So she realized there's nothing to be proud of. There's nothing in her, not even one single thing she can be boasting about. All she needs to rely on is God's grace, God's blessing, and God's loving kindness. She knew who she was, and she just was willing. She was. She found the peace to accept her own identity. So now she finds it's no difficulty at all to share her personal failure with others. She said, well, I switched to school before, because I could not face my failure, because I had two C's, and that's my maximum. If I get one more C, I will be down forever for my program. I cannot finish. I cannot continue with my degree program. So, brothers and sisters, you can see, once when a person sees the glory of God, she knows, she also sees her own identity. She understands where she is. She understands well who she is. And it's not difficult, it's not tough at all to accept herself. And it's not difficult at all for her to accept that she is incomplete. She is imperfect. It is so easy to accept her personal failure. So she as a person changed. She became more lovely and it's more friendly with other people. Mrs. Gang also said once, said a real pride person will never be shocked, will never be stunned by his own personal weakness, by his own personal failure. Because why? If you are just, you're simply a human being, you are the created, so you are created a person, so you cannot be completed, you cannot be perfect, and you will never be completed, you will never be perfect, because you are simply just a frail human being, you are a weak human being, you need the grace from God, you need the blessings of God. You need to just draw on the source of God. You need to really draw on the grace of God. So brothers and sisters, all perfectionists, particularly those perfectionists among us, be careful. If you are one of them, then be careful. You are a very proud person. Because all perfectionists are proud people. Because you expect perfection from yourself. This is something you can never achieve. Not only that, you expect the same thing from other people, then you will really cause a lot of grief to the people around you. Only when you see the glory of God, then you will come to realize, I am imperfect, I am incomplete, but God is perfect, God is complete. Remember, Jesus said, I am complete, so follow me and strive to be complete. But that's not something try to rely on yourself. What Jesus is saying is strive to be complete person, but rely on me. Rely on my strength and power. I will help you to complete in the name of the Lord, in the name of God. So then you will not be self-righteous. You will become a complete person only with the power of God, only in the glory of God. So for those perfectionists, for those proud people, when people approach them, when people try to correct them, when people try to point in their areas of weakness, they will become instantaneously very defensive, very protective. There was a well, because why? Deep in their hearts, they have this attitude, well, I'm perfect. I cannot be that bad. I cannot have that weakness. So that's why they try to be protective and defensive. If Christian brothers and sisters, if we all know our own identity, if we see the glory of God, at the same time we also see where we are and who we are, a life will be so easy for us, and it will become so easy and so peaceful for us to accept first ourselves. Yes, we will keep on growing. We will keep on improving and increasing only in the power of God. Not in ourselves, not relying on ourselves, but relying on God. We are dependent on God. Then we will grow continually in the Spirit of the Lord. So when we know, when we accept our own identity, when we accept who we are and where we stand, we will know, just like Isaiah, I'm so unworthy. Like Job, I'm so unworthy. I'm so filthy. Like Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the head of all those sinners. It's not like something Paul said that just with a sense of modesty. No, because he really felt that way. That's what Apostle Paul felt when he said it. It is his genuine feeling. That's the feeling from the depth of his heart. He felt he was a chief of the sinners. So, brothers and sisters, I pray that all of us, we will be able to see. God will have grace to us, so we will see the glory of God. Then at the same time, we will see our own identity. We will see where we are, where we stand, and who we really are. Brothers and sisters, it's so important. Only when we see the glory of God, then we will be able to see who we really are and where we stand. And oftentimes, today's Christians, sometimes we know we are wrong. But we find it's so tough, it's so difficult to apologize. Because we feel that once we apologize, then we just lose the respect other people had for us. And a lot of wives told me their husbands, they never apologize. And it seems it's extremely difficult for these husbands to apologize to wives. Conversely, it's also true. So many wives find it's extremely difficult to apologize to their husbands. And if they felt they were wrong, they did something wrong, they said something wrong, and they blew up caused a lot of grief to their husbands, and they were wrong. That all they did is they tried to cook, by cooking a better meal, and that was it. Christians, that's not the right to do it. If you know you are wrong, you need to approach the person who you have wronged to apologize to him or her. And sometimes you need to apologize to your children also. If you did something wrong, if you wrongfully accused their children or you just reprimanded him for something he did not do or things like that, you need to apologize to your children. And reversely, it's the same. Your children also need to learn how to be able to apologize to people. If he said something to hurt other people, if he did something to hurt other people, he or she needs to learn the lesson to apologize. We need to humble ourselves. We need to step down from a podium of pride. We need to step down. We need to step low. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Not only that, also need to before other people, to in front of other people, so we can say our apologies. We can just bring our apologies to the people we have wronged. Only through that, we will see the glory of God. So, brothers and sisters, the quality of humility is not something we just talk about. It is something we need to pray for at first. Then we need to practice. We need to put all these different aspects of humility into our lives to practice it. We need to really work hard for it and on it. So particularly when we have wronged other people, we really need to go to these people. We need to put into practice. We need to apologize to these people. We need to learn how to say please. In the medieval times, there was this Christian saying, the purest, deepest humility is not a result of looking at our own weaknesses or our own incompleteness or our imperfection. No, the deepest humility is a result of focusing on the glory of our Lord. Is focusing on God's grace and loving kindness. It's not, let me repeat, it's not a result of focusing on our own weaknesses, of our own unworthiness, but is a result of seeing the glory of God, seeing the Lord is seated on the throne, high and exalted. Only when we see the great, great glory of God, then we will see how unworthy, we will see how filthy, how doomed we are. So only when a person sees God's face, or see the glory of God, like Moses did, when Moses was on the top of the mount, because he saw the glory of God for 40 days and nights, so later on, in the following 40 years, he was leader of the Hebrew nation. But every single time when the rebellious people, when the rebellious Hebrew, when they complained, when they grumbled, every single time Moses bowed down before God. Every time Moses humbled before people, before his people, before his God. Why? Because he saw on the top of the mount the glory of God for 40 days and 40 nights. So brothers and sisters, for anyone, any Christian, if this Christian sees the genuine glory of God, the bright shines of the Lord, then this person will be a humble person. It will be so easy for this person to humble himself first before the Lord, then before the people around him. Only when we see the fact that I am a sinner, I'm a very unworthy sinner, I'm also a blessed sinner, Then I will see who I really am. Then I will see where I stand. Then I will be able to accept my only identity, which is I'm just a created. Since I'm a created, I will not be proud of myself on anything, because there's nothing to be proud of. Because everything good I have, I received from the Lord. Everything bad I have, I need to depend on the grace of the Lord to work on it, to rid of it, to have the life of the Lord gradually rooted, gradually grown inside me. If you and I really know our identity, we really see and understand very clearly our identity, our position before God and our position before our fellow man, then we will not care what people look at us, how people think of us or think about us. We will care for one thing though, that is how I behave before the Lord, how my inner life is before the Lord, how the Lord will look at me from above, how the Lord will look at my spiritual growth which is inside me. I remember I have a lot of difficulty with my English because I never really seriously studied English, and particularly when I'm being a pastor of the church, I never had so much time to learn that. So oftentimes when I hear people talk about, particularly in English, when I don't understand a word or expression, I ask people, what does that word mean? What does that expression mean? People just explain that to me. I will never feel shameful. I will never feel shameful that, oh, being a pastor, I'm a pastor of a church, I don't even understand such a simple expression. No, I don't. I don't feel that way. Because it's so natural, I don't understand English, or my English is not as good, because I'm simply, I'm Chinese, I came from outside the country, and it's so natural, and it's expected that I do not know my English very well. And oftentimes I also see some people, they have been here in several decades. They came to this country to pursue their higher education, master's degree, PhD degrees. After that, they just have been working for a decade or two. But their English wasn't that good either. You know why? That's another reason. The reason their English wasn't too good also is that they were so apprehensive. They were so shy. They were so sort of like aware of self-conscious that they did not want to show that their command of English isn't that good. So even though they do not understand, if they missed this expression, missed that expression, they did not want to ask. The reason they did not want to ask, they did not want to show their ignorance. See, isn't that stupid? So their English wasn't good either, but for a different reason. So brothers and sisters, if you and I, we know, we are foreigners, we came to this country, we do not understand English too well, our command of English is not that high. It's so natural, it's expected. So do not be just so self-apprehensive. Do not be so self-conscious. So that's another example. If you and I, we are happy where we stand, if you and I, we can be happy for who we really are, we are just willing to accept our own identity, our own position, our own self, then we can really be humble before the Lord and before the people around us. Then we will feel a lot of pressure in our life is gone. Why? A lot of the pressure in our lives are self-inflicted. So brothers and sisters, we really need to have this message embedded deeply in our mind. If I find my own position before the Lord, if I find my own standing before the Lord, before other people, if I see the glory of God, then I will really be very clear about who I am and where I stand. I will be very clear about myself that I am just a grain of ash. I'm just a small particle of dust. I will not be afraid that other people will hurt me. I will be not so defensive, so self-protective. I will not be so terrified that other people can hurt me. Because my sense of self-worth is on the right track. It's not more, it's not less. Because I'm willing to accept environment the Lord has measured out for me. I'm willing to accept who I am. The Lord has planned me to be. So, Lord, I'm happy to be who I am. I'm happy to stand where I am, because that's who you wanted me to be. That's where you want me to be. Lord, thank you for all your graces, for all your blessings, for all your loving kindness. Lord, I see your glory. I am happy with who I am. May God bless all of us. May God bless his own message, so you and I will continue to learn from our great God. Let's sing this hymn song.